This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day where there are new developments regarding the huge fight that is coming up for control of the U.S. Senate. And yes, for control of the United States House of Representatives, both of which are so closely divided. How do Republicans make progress on this fight? And one way to do it is not to quit. But unfortunately, there are folks on the Republican side of things who are throwing in the towel, it would appear. Why and what do you do to fight back more effectively? There is also a new attempt to fight back effectively against, well, against the culture of American guilt and grievance, which is just paralyzing and is now being applied even to very young children. And that's where they are lucky enough to actually be able to go to school. Schools are beginning to reopen. There are teachers who are getting vaccinated and protected now. So maybe the problem of schools being closed is just temporary, but the problem of indoctrination of our kids to make them feel terrible about who they are, about their parents, about their background, that is continuing, and it's disgusting. There is a powerful piece in the Wall Street Journal today, and it happens to be written by a guy, Beyond Bartening, who has just been chosen as the president of the new FAIR organization that we are talking about, the Foundation Against Intolerance and Racism. And he writes about an experience that he had as a parent of a child in a very, very exclusive, very expensive private school in New York City. In mid-June, a few weeks after the George Floyd protest began, writes Beyond Bartening in the Wall Street Journal, the head of Riverdale Country School, the New York City private school my wife and I entrusted with the education of our two young children, sent a memo apologizing for unspecified past wrongs. Now, Riverdale Country School, I know it sounds like it's out in the country somewhere. It's in the Bronx. Riverdale is the nicest neighborhood in the Bronx, New York City. In any event, they sent out a memo that said, "We have the responsibility to use our privilege to fight for change. We are also free to shift some aspects of our culture more quickly than other institutions and organizations." In September, at the first assembly of the year at this very exclusive and very expensive school, instead of reciting the Pledge of Allegiance and singing America the Beautiful, long-standing school traditions, the head of the lower school announced that the theme for the year would be allyship. He then played a video in which the school mascot told students ages 5 through 11. Now let that sink in for a moment. You remember what a 5-year-old is like? This is for kids from kindergarten through age 11. And the school mascot was telling those little kids to check each other's words and actions. The lower school head had earlier written that it is essential that parents, caregivers, and educators acknowledge racial differences as opposed to a colorblind stance. In other words, it's the same crap as the Cartoon Network, wanting to make kids more race conscious. And Why would you do that? How does it defeat racism to emphasize racial difference? Isn't that the very essence of racism? The school mascot also offered reading recommendations such as Robin DiAngelo's White Fragility. Families at Riverdale are encouraged to join school-sponsored affinity groups to bond with people from their own ethnicity or skin color. One is called simply the POC, short for Parents of Color. Now, at this point in his narrative, Beyond Bartning tells something about his own background, which, by the way, is more and more typical of Americans. He says, I'm half Mexican, and Yaqui, that's an indigenous tribe native to the U.S.-Mexico border region, and I'm half Jewish. I spent the first year of my life on a commune in Berkeley, California. Growing up, I was aware that I had darker skin than my mother and my classmates, but I was never taught to define my identity by the color of my skin. My mixed background and ancestry made me feel like nothing more than a typical American. My wife came to the United States as a refugee from the former Soviet Union. She spent her first 5 years of her life in an intolerant society, that's the Soviet Union, where her group identity as a Jew was stamped on her passport. My wife and I started to ask questions. I have always felt a strong connection with Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream of an America where people, quote, will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character, unquote. I advocate genuine anti-racism rooted in dignity and humanity. But the ideology underlying the racial literacy guide distributed by my children's school wasn't like that. Instead of emphasizing our common humanity, it lumps people into simplistic racial groupings. It teaches that each person's identity and status is based largely on skin color and leaves no place for people like me who are of mixed race or don't place race at the heart of their identity. Why is it a good thing to place race, whatever your race happens to be, at the heart of your identity? Race is different from religion. It's different from personal philosophy. It's different from your status as a proud American. Because if you're talking about race as the heart of your identity, the differences are so profound and the arguments would be so profound as what does your race mean? Really? What is that supposed to be? This entire piece is very powerful. He writes, I became concerned by the emphasis on grievance over gratitude and by the stated goal of turning young children into committed activists. Quote, by the end of the unit, one section of the curriculum explains students will set commitments for rectifying current social ills, such as learning and planning how to carry out anti-racist activism and or social advocacy in their communities. What all this reminded me of, he mentioned Beyond Bartning, that his wife came originally from Russia. In Russia, they had something called Komsomol, which was like the commie Boy Scouts. It's the young pioneers. And they glorified, in the bad old days of the Soviet Union, a guy named Pavlik Morozov, who got his parents killed by informing on them to the communist authorities in the Stalin era. And he was a big hero and a role model for little kids. He was an activist for the revolution. Is that what they're talking about here? When they want to tell five-year-olds how to carry out anti-racial activism and social advocacy in their communities? Is that the way we want to shape our kids? How about the way we were shaped? How did human life come to be? That and other profound questions coming up with Steve Meyer, author of The Return of the God Hypothesis, coming up. Dr. Stephen Meyer is a New York Times bestselling author, and his new book, Return of the God Hypothesis, makes the case for the undeniable intelligent design of the universe. And it's already looking like a smash hit. Clear, compelling, and entertaining to read. Meyer skewers materialism, a must read, and a convincing argument. Those are just some of the comments from the more than 40 scientists who've endorsed the book. Using discoveries from cosmology and physics in Return of the God Hypothesis, Meyer reveals his stunning conclusion. The science supports not just the existence of an intelligent designer, but the existence of a personal God. Pre-order at discovery.org/medved. That's discovery.org/medved. And get these special pre-order perks, a sneak peek at an exclusive excerpt from the book, a free digital booklet about intelligent design, discounts for Dr. Meyer's online course, and an invitation to a private online meeting with Dr. Meyer. Get all this when you pre-order at discovery.org/medved. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I'm only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Michael Medved Show. Dr. Steve Meyer is a PhD in the philosophy of science from the University of Cambridge, and he is the director of the Center for Science and Culture at Discovery Institute, but most importantly at the moment, he is the author of the upcoming new book. It is released within a couple of weeks at the very end of the month of March. The book is going to be one of the most important books you've read, period. It's called Return of the God Hypothesis, Three Scientific Discoveries that reveal the mind behind the universe. It's posted up at our website at michaelmedved.com. I'm very proud of the association with this particular book. Steve, one of the things that you find when you pick up the Return of the God Hypothesis is sort of opening eyes to one of the things that's missing when most people learn about evolution in school and learn about Charles Darwin, which is, okay, you understand you've got little unicellular organisms, little paramecium here and a little microbe here, and they all evolve because of mutations, and they evolve and they suddenly become Mozart. But aside from that, what did Darwin say? Because this was fascinating in your book. What did Darwin actually say? How we went from dead rock, from inanimate matter, into that first very primitive life. Where did that start?
He confessed almost complete ignorance about the question, and most people don't realize this, that Darwinian evolution attempts to explain how new forms of life arose from simpler pre-existing forms. But the theory does not attempt to explain how the first living organisms, the first cells, arose from simpler non-living chemicals. He postulated in a letter to a friend that perhaps it arose in some warm little pond with all the right chemicals gurgling about, but he really had no specific theory about how that would have happened, and said at that point in 1859, we may as well speculate about the origin of matter itself, he said. It was a complete unknown. What is also still unknown is an answer to the very same question, that the theories, they're called chemical evolutionary theories of the origin of life, and the attempts to explain the origin of life from simple chemistry have reached a state of almost complete impasse. No progress has been made on that question since 1859. There were more detailed theories proposed in the 20s and 30s and 50s, and they've each been shown to be inadequate time and time again, because we've learned more about the integrated complexity and informational complexity of living cells. They're complex on the order of a Boeing plant or more. They're using very sophisticated forms of information processing. So we don't, from an evolutionary standpoint, we really have no idea where life first began or how.
Okay, this was fascinating to me because thanks to your book, I learned about the Miller-Urey hypothesis about the creation of life. And it rang a bell for me because my dad took me out to see Fantasia, that great Walt Disney animated film. And in Fantasia, they actually have a version of the origins of life that they use to illustrate Stravinsky's Rite of Spring. And I was like 7 years old. And what it shows is it shows volcanoes erupting and lightning hitting a warm little pond somewhere. And somehow a combination of the volcanoes and life hitting that warm little pond, then all of a sudden you see living things swimming around in there. That was later, it's 1953, so it was after Fantasia. That was the same idea that this Miller-Urey hypothesis put forward, wasn't it?
Exactly. It was an attempt to simulate one small step in getting from simple chemicals to a complex living cell without, at the time, a full appreciation of how complex the cell actually is. And what Miller and Urey were able to do was to an apparatus called a spark discharge chamber, and they sparked some gases, chemical gases, and allowed them to collect in the little vesicle at the bottom, and found that after a couple of days they had produced a few of the protein-forming amino acids, two or three of the 20 that are necessary to make proteins. It was later determined, however, that the gases that they chose did not simulate the early Earth's atmosphere. The experiment was presented as a simulation of what would have taken place on the early Earth, but the gaseous mixture was strongly reducing as the chemists call it, it moves spontaneously towards greater chemical complexity. The early Earth's atmosphere was either slightly oxidizing or neutral and wouldn't have produced those amino acids. But there was an even bigger problem, and that is the amino acid building blocks of proteins are just really a very simple step in getting to something significant for life. To build a protein, you need a whole complement of those amino acids, and they need to be arranged in very precise ways in order for those long chain-like molecules to fold up into the three-dimensional structures that perform jobs in cells. In other words, a functional protein. It'd be like getting the letter,
okay, so,
but not the whole sentence.
Okay, so what you're saying is that this is 1953, so we're talking about 70 years ago. That those amino acids, if they let them sit there, they wouldn't just form some kind of primitive form of life if they're just sitting there in the vial?
Absolutely
where they
not. They actually they interact with other chemicals and form a sludge that has nothing to do with life unless the investigator interferes and removes the other chemicals. And most importantly, the amino acids are like letters that have to be arranged in the correct order, and there has been no explanation at the time of Miller-Urey or since as to how the amino acids might have arranged themselves into the correct sequence so that they would form a protein that would be life-relevant. That still wouldn't be life. It'd still be a component of life, but even to get a component that's relevant to life, you need that sequencing, and there's been no explanation of how things were ever properly sequenced by mindless chemistry.
Okay, we've come a long way since 1953. In terms of the most recent science, do we have any clue now how we got the first stirrings of some kind of animate being, even unicellular life?
No, the problem has gotten exponentially worse as we've learned more and more about how complex the living cell is. The great irony is that in 1953 was also the year that Watson and Crick elucidated the structure of the DNA molecule, and then several years later discovered that the DNA actually contains digital code, the instruction set for building those proteins that Miller and Urey were unable to synthesize in their experimental apparatus.
When we come back, and we can continue this conversation, so why is the discovery of DNA so crucial for the whole theory of intelligent design? That and more with Steve Meyer, who is the author of the new upcoming book, Return of the God Hypothesis, coming right up.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
If you've been following the markets, then you know how huge the automation markets are becoming. Robotics, autonomous cars, and enterprise automation services are revolutionizing entire industries. The bottom line is that automation is powering the future. And you can find out which companies are leading the charge with your free subscription to AvidBiotech.Trends when you text the word trend to 48542. We've identified a cutting-edge company that's leading the industry in creating the next generation of robotics and automation. Get this cutting-edge intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device when you text the word TREND to 48542. Get ahead of the curve on robotics and automation industry leaders with your free research from Biotech Stock Trends. Text the word TREND to 48542. Text TREND to 48542. Text the word TREND to 48542.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is letting Americans know that stimulus checks are on the way. The New York Democrat says $1,400 checks for the majority of Americans will be here soon.
They'll be here in about 2 weeks, give or take a few days. So people won't have to wait months and months and months. It'll be right in their pockets.
The bill was passed in the Senate on Saturday, 50-49, with no Republicans voting for it. The House is expected to pass the legislation on Tuesday. The United States is recording its coldest February temperatures in more than 30 years. A report from NOAA shows last month saw the lowest February temperatures the nation had since 1980. 89. This February ranked among the top 10 coldest Februarys recorded in Arkansas, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, and Oklahoma. This is USA Radio News.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Power grid failures and natural disasters, they happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
On the Michael Medved Show, talking for a few minutes more with Dr. Steve Meyer of the Discovery Institute, Institute for Science and Culture, where Steve is the longtime director. His new book, following his enormously successful best-selling books, Signature in the Cell and Darwin's Doubt, is called The Return of the God Hypothesis, Three Scientific Discoveries That Revealed the Mind Behind the Universe. You can pre-order it right now with all kinds of special benefits you get for pre-ordering at returnofthegodhypothesis.com. And you receive this special offer with free perks. But you need to place your order by March 30th, because that's when the book is formally released. You can go to discovery.org /Medved. That's discovery.org /Medved. Steve, we were just about to get into this question about the discovery of DNA. But maybe to put this in context, I mean, part of what science is about is trying to understand the universe, the cosmos, everything around us. And I was just reading a review of a new book that says we can now see through telescopes the birth of galaxies out to a distance of 13 billion light years. Now, a light year, for people who may have forgotten, a light year is the distance that light travels in a year. And 13 billion light years, this is a big, big universe. And you have these incredibly complex little design elements in every living thing. Why is that such an important discovery in terms of the DNA?
Well, in 1953, Watson and Crick elucidated the structure of the DNA molecule. They showed that it was this beautiful double helix, that it had these chemical subunits that ran along the interior of the helix structure. And they suspected that the sequence, the sequential arrangement of those chemical subunits, they're called bases or nucleotide bases, they suspected that they had something to do with the transmission of hereditary information. In 1958, Francis Crick put forward a now famous hypothesis called the sequence hypothesis, in which he proposed that, yes, indeed, those chemical bases were functioning or are functioning like alphabetic letters in a written text or digital characters like the zeros and ones we use in software today. That is to say that it was not the chemical properties of the chemical subunits, but rather their arrangement in accord with an independent symbol convention, a code that gave them their ability to transmit information. And over the next few years, by about 1965, scientists had discovered that Crick was absolutely right about this, that what was going on in the cell was that there was a repository of stored information in the DNA molecule, that that information was then being transmitted and expressed at a essentially a chemical factory that was responsible for building the proteins and protein machines that cells need to stay alive. So inside the cell, what the scientists discovered that was that there was digital code directing the construction of the mechanical parts and systems that cells need for their daily lives. And so this is just fascinating. We have a technology, we use a technology very similar to this right here in Seattle at the Boeing plant. It's called CAD-CAM, computer-assisted design and engineering, where an engineer will write code at a console, it will go down a wire, it will be translated into a machine language that can be read at a manufacturing apparatus, and at the Boeing plant, that information might be used, for example, to put rivets on the airplane at precise locations. That's the exact type of technology that's been discovered inside cells, information directing the construction of mechanical systems. It's absolutely fascinating.
Okay, what about the idea of intelligent design? That came forward in part, did it not, to try to make up for the fact that Darwin punted by talking about a warm little pool somewhere where life just happened?
Well, right. It's partly a consequence of the failure of chemical evolutionary theories to account for the origin of the complexity of the cell and specifically the origin of the information necessary to build even a very simple one-celled organism. You can't, just as in our computer world, you can't build a new program or operating system without code. It's the same in life. You can't build a new cell or new forms of life without information, and it's the information is stored digitally in DNA. And what we know, so the chemistry doesn't seem to create the code. The chemical reactions that occur spontaneously do not move towards biological complexity. But on the other hand, we do know of a cause that produces digital information, and that's intelligence. Whenever we see information, especially in a digital or alphabetic form, whether it's in a computer program or a paragraph in a book or a hieroglyphic inscription or information embedded in a radio signal, whenever we see such information and we trace it back to its source, we always come to a mind, not a material process. So the discovery of information at the foundation of life in the DNA molecule, I have argued, is a powerful indicator of the activity of a designing intelligence in the history of life. Our local hero here, Bill Gates, says that DNA is like a software program, but much more complex than any we've ever created. We know that software comes from programmers, and I've argued that the information at the foundation of life is indicates the activity of a master programmer for life.
Okay, when you talk, and the subtitle of your book is Three Scientific Discoveries That Reveal the Mind Behind the Universe, a part of that argument that there is must be a mind behind the universe, if the universe includes galaxies that are 13 billion light years away from where we are, doesn't that indicate a fairly large program of design?
It does indeed. And what we find, and this is, we've been talking about one of the three discoveries today, the digital information in DNA. But we also find that from the very beginning of the universe, the laws of physics and chemistry were set up. They were, as the physicists say, finely tuned to allow for the possibility of life. And so you not only see evidence of design arriving on the scene long after the beginning, but you see it from the very beginning as the, and we now know there was a beginning. And I know your dad is a very accomplished physicist, wrote extensively about the importance of the discovery that the universe had a beginning, and that's the second of the big three discoveries that I address. And the third is that from the beginning, there was fine-tuning in the setup of the laws of nature to allow for life.
Yeah, because people use the term Big Bang theory. But usually when you hear about a Big Bang, it's just a destructive explosion. Since when is a Big Bang in the physical world as we know it a creative explosion?
Only at the beginning of the universe, because the Big Bang was carefully calibrated from the beginning. Even the initial conditions of matter and energy were exquisitely finely tuned. And that's something else I talk about in the book, calculations by a famous Oxford physicist, Roger Penrose, showing that the expansion of the universe from that creation event was finely tuned from the very beginning to result in an orderly universe capable of sustaining life, not a destructive event at all.
Steve Meyer has enriched our lives and our understanding of the universe around us with his previous books, but never more comprehensively than in his latest production, which is called Return of the God Hypothesis. It is coming out, formally released, on March 30th, but you should move forward, go to discovery.org/Medved, discovery.org/Medved. Steve, amazing and dazzling, as always. When we come back, a multimillionaire claims he is owed reparations. Where? Why? We'll tell you. Coming up.
Portions of the Michael Medved Show are brought to you in part by the Discovery Institute.
Even for Americans who've been successful in dodging the coronavirus so far, there's still a problem of pain. There are 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to overexertion or exercise or just aging or the effects of everyday living, and Relief Factor can help. It helps exercise-related pain or general muscle aches and pains, and it certainly does for me. There are four key ingredients. Each one approaches the body's natural anti-inflammatory response function from different metabolic pathways. The 3-week quick start can show you how it works. It's just $19.95, 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee a day, much less for pain relief. Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain, the whole world to gain.
With new leadership in Washington, D.C., it's abundantly clear that Americans are deeply divided. What does our country even believe anymore? What do we have in common? One organization that continues to stand for what America has always believed is the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. The Institute stands for the first things, the permanent things, religious liberty, freedom of conscience, the family, limited government, free markets, our Judeo-Christian heritage. The Institute for Faith and Freedom is unafraid to support these timeless truths and principles with no apologies. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll see insightful, bold opinion pieces from the renowned faculty at Grove City College. See Mark Hendrickson's latest on GameStop, Wall Street, and the hedge fund managers. See John Sparks and former Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty on impeachment. And take a look at our friend Paul Kanger's articles and speeches. You can find all of this and much more at the website of the Institute for Faith and Freedom. That's www.faithandfreedom.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Michael Medved Show. Don't miss the opportunity to check out some of the most recent technological developments that are just on the very edges of changing our world in a profound way. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Our Crowd, because through crowdsourced funding for startups, for new technological launches, this is an opportunity for you to make a difference for your own bottom line with your investments and with the world at large. Webinars and information on the internet of every kind available totally free. Go to michaelmedved.com and click on the banner for Our Crowd, my brother's high-tech investment company based in Jerusalem, Israel. Okay, this is not high-tech. It is an interchange, which I think is profoundly revealing, about reparations. Yeah, reparations. Charlemagne the God, who is hosts a talk show in New York City, and he does a very popular podcast. He is very much in favor of reparations. Would that by any chance include him? Listen to this interchange with Bill Maher on Real Time with Bill Maher, clip 11.
Last month, the Biden administration said, speaking of money, they want to study reparations. Study it. Compensate descendants of slaves for unpaid labor by their ancestors. Jen Psaki, the press spokesman, said, we'll see what happens in the legislative process. I'm curious where you are on this issue. I mean, there's a collective guilt that's asking individuals to recompense. I think that's how we would frame that?
Listen, I think reparations have to happen for black people. You know what I mean? Because slavery was America's original sin. And I really don't think no good is going to come to this country until they atone for their original sin, which was slavery. I mean, my ancestors literally built this country for free.
Individual white people are saying, I didn't do it, and my ancestors didn't even do it, and you are not your ancestors.
I'm a descendant of those ancestors.
I know, but okay.
Hey, listen, when a debt is old, a debt is old. Period.
But you've got a lot of money, so you say you should get more.
Should I get more?
Well, no. You should get a check.
Yes, I'm 97% a West African, born in Charleston, South Carolina, so I should definitely get a check.
Okay. Why should he get a check? In other words, why should money be taken away from the descendants of people who arrived in the United States in many cases long after slavery And this brings us to what, believe it or not, a commentator has called the most shocking or one of the most shocking moments in television history. Yeah, the moment being that Oprah Winfrey interview last night with Prince Harry, or I guess he's now just Harry, and Meghan Merkel. This, of course, the son of the Prince of Wales and his bride, who revealed that she is expecting again. This time it's a little girl. But there were charges of racism that were coming forward in the course of the interview. Listen to Meghan Markle talking to Oprah about concerns in the royal family. By the way, they got from CBS $7 million for this interview. This is Meghan and Oprah, clip three.
Concerns and conversations about how dark his skin might be when he's born.
What?
And
who is having that conversation with you? What?
So,
there is a conversation. Hold up.
There's several
right now.
There's several conversations.
There's a conversation with you,
with Harry,
about how dark your baby is going to be.
Potentially, and what that would mean or look like.
Ooh. And you're not going to tell me who had the conversation?
I think that would be very damaging to them.
Okay.
Okay. They have already ruled out, Harry has ruled out his grandmother, the Queen, Her Majesty the Queen. He's ruled out his grandfather, Prince Philip, who is 99 years old and is, I believe, still in the hospital. But this is such a weird fascination. I must say I found all of the completely obsessive, over-the-top fascination with Harry's mother, Princess Diana, a little difficult to understand. But listen to journalist Mara Schiavacampo. She's an expert on this. She was on CNN this afternoon. Listen to the way she referred to the interview, an excerpt of which you just heard. This is clip 13.
Yeah, this, Brianna, was one of the most shocking moments in television interview history, hands down, period. And I think for a lot of Black Americans watching, it was also a really painful reminder of a time where there were these colorism tests for access to higher society. This is part of American history. There were times where people had to pass blue blood tests. Was your skin light enough to see that your blood was blue in your veins? There were paper bag tests where people would hold a paper bag up to your skin. And if you were lighter than the paper bag, you were gained entry into certain aspects of society. And so this is really a throwback to a very ugly time in American history for a lot of people.
Okay. Meghan Markle, who was very successful before she met Harry, had a very independent, promising Hollywood career. But she said this to Oprah as part of her interview. This is amazing. This is clip four, and this is another shocking moment in television history. Listen.
I don't want to be alive anymore.
I thought it would have solved everything for everyone, right?
So were you thinking of harming yourself? Were you having suicidal thoughts?
Yes. This was very, very clear.
Wow.
Very clear and very scary. And, you know, I didn't know who to even turn to in that.
Okay, the Babylon Bee had, which does a satirical website, of course, from a Christian perspective, had a great, great headline about the interview. Meghan Markle inspires millions of young girls with message that no matter how famous, how rich, how powerful they are, they'll always be oppressed. And you could answer, and suicidal. Coming up, no suicidal wishes from Eddie Murphy, who actually is basking in some of the commercial success of his new movie, Coming to America. Worth seeing? Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute. Med's Entertainment.
33 years after the first Coming to America, Eddie Murphy is back with most of the same cast, including Arsenio Hall and James Earl Jones and Sherry Headley. Now Murphy's character, Prince Akeem, is King Akeem, who has a succession crisis when he finds out he left behind an illegitimate son in America. This complicated new episode, it's called Coming Number 2 America. Now streaming on Amazon Prime.
Presenting King Akeem's son from America.
I have upset to my family.
You must be strong.
The film is at least good-natured in its stupidity, with smutty, often misfired humor, and a groaning collection of private part jokes. But it's lavish, shameless, and frequently fun to watch, especially in the second half. 2.5 stars for the very much R-rated Coming to America.
This feature brought to you by the Thank Heaven Foundation.
There are musical numbers in the film from all kinds of legendary groups, including Salt and Peppa and Gladys Knight and more, introduced by Morgan Freeman. Yeah, amazing, isn't it? It's one of those films where people were demanding a sequel. Actually, not so much. But it's cheerful. Speaking of cheerful, we have Stephen Moore talking about all of the celebration in financial circles with the COVID rescue package, $1.9 trillion. He believes it's too much. We'll talk to him, former economic advisor to President Trump, and we'll also speak to a leading conservative who says she understands Republican indignation, but how about some ideas for this greatest nation on God's green earth?
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.